Welcome, everyone, to the inaugural episode of 2025. I'm interviewing my dear friend, Elijah B. Wilder, who, among many things, is an author, he's a philosopher, he's a man about town, and in general, just a really, really funny human being who uses puns a lot. And I kind of think that's what captured my fancy around our friendship, is that Elijah absolutely loves dad jokes. And you know what? I do too. So we've become fast friends. This episode is a sweet one. And Elijah shares a story from childhood where, as a kiddo, he got to witness something rather beautiful, something rather unexpected, and something that helped him to know that even goldfish contain miracles. We also talk about Kantian aesthetics in this one, and not really all that much. The one philosophical idea that caught my fancy was the way the Japanese treat shadows. And there's a very famous book around this that I'm hopefully going to read soon, In Praise of Shadows. And it's by Junichiro Tanizaki. Please forgive me if that name is pronounced incorrectly. This book was published in 1933 and contrasts the Japanese love of shadows and dim lighting with the Western ideals of brightness. And the author kind of is suggesting that shadows, dimming the lights in rooms, those things can be very powerful. They're very subtle, but in that subtlety is incredible power. And I was thinking about this in reference to the presidential regime that's coming in so very soon. I think a lot of people are anticipating a lot of darkness, a lot of intensity, a lot of stress, a lot of maybe being scared. And I was thinking of shadows and how beautiful they are, how soft, but also how shadows can very strongly define the shape of an object in a room if you have the correct lighting. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, within these spaces, within these places, not only is there great beauty in these dim rooms when you observe these shadows, but also there's so much potential. And I think people take shadows for granted. In dim light, at least I believe, a lot can be accomplished. A lot can be seen. A lot can be kind of fomented and like stirred up and like a great big pot of soup worked on and nobody's any the wiser. And so while I am sort of dreading what's coming later this month, I also realize that this could be a time for great opportunity, for great change, for great growth, for great magic to happen in the shadows where nobody's looking. And so, with that sentiment in mind, let's get to my conversation with Elijah B. Wilder.
I've always loved psychocomms. Like, the Grim Reaper is probably the most commonly recognized in America psychocomm. And I was trying to figure out why I'm so obsessed with psychocomms. And Carl Jung would be so happy that it goes back to my childhood.
Death is such a mystery. It's such a conundrum for us. You know, you have the people who have near-death experiences, right? So many. They write books about them. They write about their experiences. And the scientists say, oh no, that was all like just made up in your brain because it's a kind of an explosion of neurons when you're dying, your last oxygen. And by the way, none of that is real. So you have those people. And then you have other people who, nurses and caregivers who are with people before they die, sometimes for months, who talk about inexplicable things happening in the room. And everybody's like, oh, you know, the rationalists or whatever, scientists, oh no, you're making that up. It's just the person like hallucinating. It's not real. But then you have people who are, you know, I mean, I've met many people who are psychic and they've told me things that they couldn't possibly know. And they say things and explain things. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's more to this than we actually understand. And I think the one thing about death that is absolutely true is that people are terrified of it and running away from it as fast as they can. And I'm not saying, you know, we should all be happy and excited about our deaths, that we should strive to go towards death, but I think we should maybe find some way to make peace with it.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And there's just so many issues around like neglect, going back to insurance companies and especially like elder abuse and elder neglect, because people just recoil from anyone who's dying. And if you're not willing to sit with discomfort around an issue, then you're not going to be able to notice, let alone fix, any kind of injustices happening around it. But there are those weirdos out there who think about death a lot intentionally.
Well, if you're, I mean, one of the things that fascinates me is if you think about death and how other earlier civilizations oriented themselves towards that subject, death was a god. Death was not something to be afraid of. Death was not something to lament. It was something to, like, you understood that it was part and parcel of being born, that it was the final journey that we all take. And it's not something to rail against or fight against, because it really comes in as kind of this pacifier, this mother, this God with a lot of love to take you on your next adventure. I don't know if have you ever studied anything like that?
Yeah, I have, and it's kind of, as you started talking, it made me think about a childhood experience randomly. But like the idea of the psychopomp kind of is something that I've always been obsessed with, the sort of some sort of spiritual being that guides you through the death process. Like Hermes is the classic ancient Greek psychopomp. People usually think it's someone else, but it's not. It's Hermes, which is the god of communication and travel, because it is a journey of life, and it's the god who's in charge of helping you communicate with the living is the same dude who's helping you go on to the afterlife. And so I've always loved psychopomps. Like the Grim Reaper is probably the most commonly recognized in America psychopomp. And I was trying to figure out why I'm so obsessed with psychopomps. And Carl Jung would be so happy that it goes back to my childhood.
Would you care to share that story?
I think I have to, because it's ridiculous. And I know that. And why I started thinking about it is because we were talking about the rationalists who hear people describe their personal experiences and they say, no, that did not happen. And I know someone's going to hear this and go, no, that did not happen. But I was a child at one point, believe it or not. I must have been 7, 8 thereabouts. And every summer we had this little fair at the elementary school. And one of the things was you could throw a ping pong ball into a goldfish bowl and you win a goldfish. And so I crushed it, won a goldfish. They were nice enough to not make the goldfish suffer in the bowls. So you got a coupon to go to the pet store and pick one out. And I picked one out. He was yellow. His name was Sausage. He was that long. I wasn't great at names at the time. Sausage was the best I could come up with. And then I won a second goldfish, and I went and I saw this fish, and she was almost completely translucent, and she had these really beautiful flowing white fins. And I got her, and the poor teenager was in there like getting his entire right body just soaking wet, because I kept going, nope, not that one, that one, nope, that one, nope, nope, that one. And I took her home, and I did not name her after a foodstuff. I named her Angel. And then there were several more goldfish who joined, because I ended up getting this 10-gallon tank in my room. And I had a little Japanese pagoda in the middle that was open. And so it was like this big square on the bottom. And so the fish could actually swim in and hang out. And Sausage, the patriarch of the fish tank, one day I went in there and I saw that Sausage was lying on the bottom of the pagoda, and Angel was just like right up next to him, lying on the ground with the pagoda next to him. And I was like, well, that's weird. And then the next morning, Sausage was dead. And I was like, oh no. So I held a very elaborate funeral for Sausage because I do that for all of my animals. And then like months later, Oreo, there was a trend. Angel broke the trend. She was the only one. Oreo got like impaled on a plastic plant. Like he like bit into it and I guess it messed him up and he got injured, but he didn't die right away. And then I saw him, he was on the bottom of the pagoda with Angel and she was just staying with him. And then he died. And every single fish that died before Angel, the same thing happened. She would just be lying on the bottom of the pagoda with them. And then eventually there was just Angel and she was lying on the bottom of the pagoda by herself. And so I just stayed with her until she died and it broke my heart. So I think that's why I'm obsessed with psychopomps, because I had one as a pet goldfish as a child and it pretty much just completely colored the trajectory of my experience in a way I didn't realize until you started talking about death on a podcast.
Okay, I'm like...
This is so much cheaper than therapy, too.
And with that, Happy New Year. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Elijah, who is not only an incredible goldfish parent and an incredible teller of dad jokes, but is also a novelist. His first book was recently released in the Hereafter Lies series that I do believe he said is going to include 9 books. To find out a little more about Elijah and the incredible work that he's doing, the creations that he's coming out with, well, click on the link in the episode show notes. His website is seriously fun, as is Elijah. Now, as we move forward into this year, I want each and every one of you to know that I believe in you, and I believe in our collective goodness, our collective kindness, our collective just spreading the love around, and that we can achieve beautiful things. Never forget that, because it is, in the end, all up to us, isn't it? Each and every one of us is going to bring our own particular brand of beauty into the world, whether it includes shadows or not. You know, I err on the side of shadows because I've always liked and appreciated dim lighting. I've always liked and appreciated shadows and the shapes they create in the world. But just remember that we can do good things and that we can shape the world. Happy New Year, everyone. And thank you for listening. And here's my one request. Be like Elijah. Tell dad jokes. Be funny. Be shameless. Be sweet. Revel in your own hilarity. Elijah is so funny and so wonderful with just being unapologetic with the jokes and puns he shares. And you know what? They make everyone around him laugh. They bring everyone else's spirits up. So be like Elijah. Tell good jokes, tell bad jokes, tell jokes that are maybe make people wonder if you're actually all that funny. But do it unapologetically. Be yourself. And I do think that this world needs more dad jokes, more bad jokes, because we all need to laugh a little more. We all need to chuckle a little more. And inside that laughter, inside that chuckling, inside that hilarity, there's strength there. And from that strength, we can foster a belief that we can change the world.